Great. Thank you very much, Joe. On your seats or under your seats, most of you at least, should find something looking or resembling this. Have a look underneath you. If you turn up towards the end, then you probably won't find any under there. But have a look. See if you can find something like this under you. If you haven't got something like this, then you can do something very similar where you don't have to hold these up. You can just do a thumbs up and a thumbs down if you're at the back there in the cheap seats. So what we're going to do is we're going to think about how do we respond? How do we respond to certain things? There are certain things in life which I know I would be much happier without. I'd be much happier if they didn't exist. In fact, I kind of give a bit of a red face to them, a red card to those things that I'd be much happier without. But also there are things which make my life worth living, which are brilliant, which I really enjoy. Now, it'd be a bit boring if I just stood here and showed you what I thought about everything, but I want to know what you guys think about various different things as well. So some pictures are going to come up on the screen, and if you think that this makes your life worth living, it's really, really good, you really enjoy it, hold up a green smiley face. But if your life would be much better without it, then hold up a red, unhappy face. Okay, so the first picture, Jeff, please. Marmite. Right, hold it up. Oh, it's I think the Greens have it. How about the second one? Disney films. Now, I know the girls in our youth group, we were having a conversation with the girls in our youth group. They can't live without them. Yeah, there's a few red faces, but mostly green. Excellent. Thank you very much. Thirdly, cricket. I'm very glad to see my daughter's got her green smiley face up for this one. She's been watching a lot of it recently. Excellent. Fourthly, Hannah. My daughter can't cope with the excitement of seeing Peppa Pig in church. Great. I think I'm one of those on that one. And finally, or penultimately, Lego. There are three red faces for Lego. Dear me. The last one, I don't want you to put your cards up, but here's the last one. Jesus. What do you think about Jesus? Because this is the most important question that all of us face, because it's going to affect how we live the rest of our lives. Now, the question is, though, how do we live with relation to Jesus? On Friday, we were thinking about how people thought about Jesus, what they thought about Jesus. And around the room, there are a few kind of signs, if you like, which people might have thought at the time when Jesus was around. And actually, the way that often people think today. So if anyone can see like a red sign with some writing on it, then pop your hand up, and if you could come to the front with it, that'd be fantastic. So I think there's a few around somewhere. Anyone see a red sign? Yeah, Sean, up you come, grab it, and brilliant, fantastic, excellent, yeah, great, thank you very much, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think there's another one. Is Matthew Jones coming up with it? No, he's just helping someone little. Oh, well done, Matthew. Brilliant. We've got some things here. Thanks, Sean. Thank you. Some things here that people at the time of Jesus thought about him. And when Tim was speaking to us on Friday, he was saying, remember, that we often might like to think we would have thought differently. But actually, we often think in the same way about Jesus that these people thought. So, who have we got? Who have we got? What of things have we got here? Well, some people might have thought, I'd rather be rich. I'd rather be rich. Remember, at the time when Jesus was crucified, there was a guy called Judas. Judas, who said, rather than loving Jesus and being friends with Jesus, thank you, Olivia. Thank you very much. rather than being friends with Jesus, I'd rather be rich. I'd rather have money, the money that the people offered me to betray Jesus. I'd rather be rich. Sometimes that's perhaps how we think. Alternatively, there is people like Peter. Peter was worried about what people might think of him if he said, yeah, I like Jesus. What would that slave girl or servant girl have thought of him if he said, yeah, Jesus is my friend. Instead, he wanted to be popular. He'd rather be popular. Judas was greedy. Peter wanted to be popular. He was proud. What about this one? Pilate. Pontius Pilate was worried about how the crowds would respond. How would the crowds respond if he said, no, I'm going to let Jesus go? He was worried about his own position. He was worried about how people would respond. And maybe they would uprise against him, rise up against him. He wanted to be safe in his job. And then there were the religious people. The religious people who didn't like Jesus because he was telling them that the way they were living wasn't the right way to live. That they needed to trust him. They said, I'd rather do things my way. I'd rather do things my way. So all these things here, all these responses that people had to Jesus, all these verdicts that people had on Jesus, were basically their way of saying, I don't want to live with Jesus on the scene. I want to show my red card to Jesus because life is better without him. Life is better without him. They wanted to do two things by killing him. Two things which happen to pretty much all of us when we die. And the two things are this. Firstly, they wanted to destroy him. They wanted to destroy Jesus. They wanted him out of sight and out of mind. They didn't want to have him on the scene anymore. They wanted him dead and destroyed. And the second thing they wanted was they wanted him no longer around. They wanted to forget about him, out of sight, out of mind. They wanted him to be abandoned. Destroyed and abandoned. That's what people at the time wanted for Jesus. Abandon him, destroy him. And so that's what they did. They killed him. They crucified him. And on Easter Saturday, the stone across the front of the tomb, it says this, the world has won. Easter Saturday says, those who hold up the red card to Jesus have won because Jesus looks like he's been destroyed and it looks like he's been abandoned. On the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And on Easter Saturday, it looks like that's just what's happened. That Jesus has been abandoned by the world and abandoned by God. And so if Jesus is still lying in a tomb, then we are wasting our time here this morning. If Jesus is still lying, destroyed and abandoned, then we are wasting our time here this morning. But the reason why we're here this morning is because Easter Sunday celebrates a day that God proved what he thought about Jesus. Because this Jesus whom you crucified, it's a verse that's going to come up on the screen, this Jesus whom you crucified, God raised him up. So the stone didn't stay where it was rolled away. Or slid away if it's a little bit precarious and might fall on the children. So the stone was rolled away. It no longer stood in front of the tomb. Instead, what we find is that the empty tomb shows us a bit about what God was saying about Jesus. God raised him up. Death is dead. He released him from the pangs of death. So on Easter Sunday, when the women came to the tomb, the angel, who probably would have been standing there a bit like Luke, but probably in better clothes and looking a little bit happier, The angel said to the women, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Why go and look for someone who's alive in a graveyard? It's silly. It's ridiculous. No, death is defeated. God has raised him. Jesus is not abandoned, but as the verses that come up on the screen tell us, Jesus is not abandoned, but instead, he's in God's presence. The one who looked like he'd been forgotten and forsaken by God wasn't permanently. Instead, he was welcomed back into God's presence with great warm arms, saying, welcome home. He's not abandoned in the grave, but because he has been raised in resurrection, God said, you've not been forsaken forever to Jesus. I've not abandoned you. You're my treasure. You're my joy. Your place is here with me. But also, he wasn't corrupted. He wasn't destroyed. Because Jesus' body didn't decay. It wasn't destroyed. It wasn't ruined. It wasn't resuscitated either to die again. No, Jesus' body was transformed into a new body, recreated, never to be destroyed. He would never die again. So then, we need to think about what God's verdict on Jesus is. We know what our verdict on Jesus is. What's God's verdict on Jesus? Now, Luke, I'm going to hold this because I've got my my green points over there on the windowsill. So if you could go and grab them for me, that'd be helpful. Forward planning, that's what this is called. What was it that God had to say about Jesus? Well, the resurrection says various things about Jesus. Remember Peter? Remember Judas who said, I'd rather be rich? Well, what does God say about this? Well, God says in the last verse of our reading that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So Judas might have had all the money in the world, and you know what? It would still belong to Jesus. Jesus is Lord of everything. It might have been that people like Peter said, I'd rather be popular. Well, again, verse 36 in our reading says, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is God's special, special beloved son. The Christ, the King, the one who is special to God. It might be that we're thinking, well, I'd rather live my own way. Like the religious people at the time, it might be that we're thinking, I'm just quite happy going to church and doing my thing and God will be happy with me. Well, God says, no, in the resurrection, Jesus is my Holy One. Jesus is the Holy One, the only Holy One, the only one who can live a life which pleases him. And it might be, finally, though, that like Pilate, people thought, I'd rather be safe. I'd rather be safe. Well, what does the resurrection say? The resurrection tells us, I think it's verse 34 in our reading, that Jesus' enemies will be crushed. Jesus' enemies will become his footstool. He'll rest his feet up on him. He'll rest his feet up on his enemies. So this, for us, is the big question. Whose verdict are we going to believe about Jesus? I'd like you to all grab the red card. Just grab the red card in front of you. Have a look at it. The red card is the card that we all naturally hold up to Jesus. It's the card that we all want to give to Jesus. We saw on Friday, didn't we? You crucified him. It's up there. You crucified him. And often we live as if that's the case, don't we? I wonder if perhaps in the way in which you live, you think, well, actually, I'd rather be rich than following Jesus. I'd rather be popular than following Jesus. I'd rather be safe than following Jesus. I'd rather do things my way than having to follow Jesus. Well, can I say, if the resurrection didn't happen, then keep holding up those red cards. Because if the resurrection didn't happen, then wealth, popularity, safety, they're not worth risking for a load of bones. They're not worth risking for a decayed body somewhere in the middle of Palestine. But if the resurrection did happen, and I'm left holding my red card, then I've got a lot to be worried about. Because if the resurrection did happen, then we have to reckon with what God says about Jesus. And if I'm holding up my red card still, then I'm an enemy of Jesus. I'm an enemy of Jesus. And look what happens to the enemies of Jesus. The enemies of Jesus will be crushed. They will become his footstool. That's what the resurrection proves. So what do we do in the face of this? Well, it's a bit like a Bond film. Anyone seen a Bond film where kind of the baddie beats up James Bond and it looks like he's got rid of him, looks like he's dead? And he's quite happily sitting there comfortably thinking, yeah, I've achieved what I wanted to do. I've got rid of my nemesis, the one that I didn't want. And then in the next scene, we see James Bond arriving over the horizon with the full army to come and beat up this baddie who wanted to get rid of him. And that baddie sat there with a great big lump in his throat thinking, oh, rubbish. Oh, rubbish. I tried to get rid of this guy and here he comes over the horizon with his cavalry coming to beat me up. So, which card is it we're holding up to Jesus today? Which card is it that we're actually... Green, good. Well done, Noah. Which card is it we're holding up? Because naturally, all of us are holding up the red card. Naturally, this is what all of us want to say to Jesus. But, what do the people on the day that they first heard this message say? Well, they say, what must we do, Peter? What must we do in the face of this truth? What must we do? And Peter says two things. He says, repent. Say sorry to God for the fact that we've wanted to get rid of his king. And secondly, live with him as our Lord. Be baptized. So actually trust him and live with him in control. Because the greatest irony is this, and I'll leave us with this. Have a think about which card you want to show to Jesus today. Spend 5 seconds looking at the two cards, thinking, actually, in the way in which I live, which of these is true for me? Be honest. Because the greatest irony is that whatever card you're holding up to Jesus is the card that God's going to hold up to you. Whatever card you've got is the card that God will show you. If you're holding up a red card and thinking in your mind, Jesus, no, I'm better off without him, then God says you will be abandoned and you will be destroyed. But if you're holding up a green card, then Jesus' prayer of John 17 is answered. Yes, we will die, but we'll be raised with Christ to new life in God's presence. And that is the promise of Easter Sunday. So the question then, which card are you holding up to Jesus today? We're going to sing of the resurrection, how it's a demonstration of Jesus' victory. Victory over death, victory over sin, victory over God's enemies. Endless is the victory that Jesus has won in the resurrection. Let's stand to sing.